Shotgun for Winston. 5 seconds to go in the quarter. He takes the snap. Blitz coming. He's getting chased. He throws. It's picked off. The rookie Charles Gaines got it. 25, 20, outside right 15, and he angles down near the 12 and goes out of bounds. Set up by the blitz and a pick by Gaines.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who have all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. You heard his voice coming in from the break. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, our guest at this time on CBD. And Jim, what do you take away from what happened down there in Florida?
Good to be with you guys.
And great to be with you.
I take away that I rest a lot easier going not into Thursday night as much as going into the Jet game, that it's more visible to me what the Browns want to do. And I really take great delight in the fact that they were truly ready to play Saturday night. It was very evident very early in all three areas of the football game that they were ready to play on offense, defense, and certainly on special teams with Benjamin hitting that punt return. And that was very good to see, because that's a good mindset that you need to have every game, whether you're home or away, but certainly on the road to be able to come out and play like that. You deliver a message right away. So a lot of positives, I thought, for the Browns after two games that were, you know, mysterious, and you leave those home games and you leave with such qualifiers as saying, well, I mean, how were our number ones, or how did Johnny Manziel do really when he did it against their number twos? I mean, this was just, you know, go out and do it, and I thought they did it very well.
Jim, how about just your overall take on Josh McCown's performance? You know, not great, didn't take the shots down the field, you know, as he did prior week, and, of course, felt the wrath of that interception. But just overall, your take on his play, and then can that template be duplicated moving forward and keep us in winning situations?
Yeah, I think so, Matt. You know, there were things that I thought happened in his play on Saturday night that he more or less kind of created his own problems, I thought, when he had problems. And, you know, there were times where I thought he could have gotten rid of the ball, and he curled away, and he curled right into a vicious sack, you know, late in the half. But I thought that sometimes he created his own problems where he didn't see something, or he just didn't get rid of the ball and take the play and live for the next play. But overall, I mean, I thought that, you know, he took them down the field on, I would say, two really good drives. The first one and then the one that opened up the third quarter. He had a rough patch, I thought, you know, in the second quarter when they just got bogged down a lot. And again, that was because they couldn't run. And then I thought that there was a lot of leakage, that he ended up with a lot of pressure in his face. I really believe that he and Dwayne Bowe have got to develop some kind of chemistry between each other. But no, I thought it was good. I think it's you can develop off of this and build on it and say to yourself, listen, you lean on his experience that he's not going to put himself in bad situations again or in the game against the Jets, and that, you know, he's going to just get more comfortable with the people around him. But I know it was important to him. I know he says he plays that down a little bit, but I really do think he was really revved up to make some things happen and go back to Tampa and show them what kind of a quarterback he really is.
When you talk about this first team offense, and yes, I certainly think he won. There was a little personal thing there with Tampa Bay, but when this first team offense, you talk about how they stagnated in the second quarter. How important was it to you that they came out in the third quarter, had that great drive they did, culminating in the McCown to Barnage touchdown?
Well, it was very. It was very important because it seemed as though it was going to be a one-drive game for them on the positive side, and that you were going to be left, you know, kind of walking out of there going, well, I mean, the first drive was great, but everything else after that was pretty quiet. And the other thing, Nathan, that kind of troubled me was when they got the great field position, you know, after the Gaines interception, I believe that ended in a field goal, and they didn't push that thing in. So, I mean, I know they want to, you know, when they get a takeaway like that, they want to cash into its fullest. But then that third quarter drive, it was really good. And I thought that, you know, he started to throw a little bit more down the field. And it was a good feeling to see them get in like that. The touchdown pass to Barnage was terrific. I thought that there were some good catches on the other end of some passes there. I thought they ran really well in that drive. It was a very complete drive, and it was a perfect way to take a bow and get out of there, and really for a lot of them to get out of the preseason that way.
It definitely was, Jim, and we're joined by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns. And my question, just how great was it to see all of our defensive players, especially in the defensive backfield, out there functioning and just kind of prove to us as Browns fans, as analysts, how great this defense can really be and how we'll have to rely on them so many times this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, it was great, Matt, and Doug brought this up on the broadcast the other night, that when you really had Joe Hayden out there early in the game and he locked down people and Tremont Williams on the other side, the pass rush then got home, and it really bothered Jameis Winston, because I think Winston, if you watched him in the Monday night game against the Bengals in their second preseason game, he was very, very, very prone to just taking the check down and getting it out of there. But I don't think that was there on Saturday night, because, and it certainly wasn't there down the field, because you had Hayden back and you had, you know, you had Gibson back at some, you know, early in the game. So I think it all really kind of played into what the dialogue has been from the Browns defense, that, hey, we're going to be really good. We can be top five. We can be really a great defense. And to be honest with you, and not, you know, not really laying it thick on them, but it was really a lot of talk in the first two games, but you could see it go in, and it was in practice and it was on the field on Saturday night. So that was very, very good to see. I'm a much more of a believer now than I was after the first two games, because the problems that they had going in that you wanted to see them solve hadn't been solved in the first two games.
Yeah, they held the Bucs to 4 of 15 on third down, 6 sacks on the day. They were able to get to the quarterback, and part of that had to do with the great play of the secondary, but and part of it had to do with, you know, I think Danny Shelton changing the math, as they say, guys in one-on-ones, winning those one-on-ones against what was an overmatched Tampa Bay offensive line. How pleased were you with the development of this defensive line and a guy like Dez Bryant starting to show, you know, some very strong form? I remember 2 years ago, I believe it was his first four games maybe with the Browns. He had a sack in each of the first four games before he had that strange injury that kind of sidelined him 2 years ago.
Well, it was great. I mean, and I have to tell you, Nathan, and I think Mike Pettine said this on Friday afternoon, that the tough cuts are probably going to be coming on the defensive line, because they have guys that can really play here and probably will end up playing elsewhere because of the numbers here. So I thought it was very good. I mean, it was great to see John Hughes. It's great to see a kid like Jamie Meter, who is just really a tough, hard-nosed football player, make plays. But it was terrific to see Shelton very early in the game establish himself. And then Kruger and Bryant just feed off of each other and really make plays, you know, almost alternating each time. But they were in there all the time. I mean, it was just – that's really great to see, because I know the Browns want to get to the quarterback and they want to stop the run. And they really did it early with their key people in there, the people that we're going to see – play in and play out on Sunday afternoons. I thought that was very important to see. But behind that, there were good guys too, because the rotation's going to be deep. And I believe though in what Mike Pettine said, there will be hard decisions that have to be made when it comes to coming down to the final number on the defensive line.
You're absolutely right, Jim, and that's kind of what the next question I had for you. So just name for us a few players that stood out to you in that dress rehearsal that you believe propelled themselves onto this 53-man roster. And then, so who are some of those guys that, again, on the defensive line and the cornerback room at wide receiver that you think might not make this football team?
Well, I tell you what, what's amazing to me is this. You know, it's the way I saw Charles Gaines play and the way he's played the entire preseason. It's amazing how he looks versus how our top draft choice from a year ago looks in Justin Gilbert, because Gaines is always in the play. He's always in the right spot. He plays pass. He plays run. He plays aggressively. He had the interception. He almost had another one. That to me is, it's amazing on the positive side for Gaines, and it's perplexing on the other side to me for Gilbert, who never seems to be in the right spot, and the neighborhood of where the ball is, I mean, he is a visitor to that. He's not a resident. And, you know, that to me is really puzzling. But, you know, I thought that I thought a guy like John Hughes played well in the game. And I know, you know, he's coming back from injury. I've always liked him. He's really kind of a lunch pail type of guy that always seems to be involved in plays. I love that safety, Ibrahim Campbell.
Yes.
Ibrahim Campbell. I think that he's always in there. I tell you, you have to check his number all the time because, you know, you think it's 39 or 31 at Gibson or Whitner, but it's him. And I think he's played very, very well. The kid Bibbs continues to do everything that they ask him to do and play very, very well. And, you know, what I don't know what they're going to do there because Hausler wasn't as, you know, he wasn't as evident in the game plan, and he didn't show as much as he showed in the second game. And I would assume that tight end position comes down to between Bibbs and Hausler.
Yes.
And again, coming out of Saturday night, I'd have to give Hausler, I have to give Bibbs more of a nod there. And, you know, the other disappointment was always when a guy finally gets on the field, to see Duke Johnson only get on the field for so little time in the game and then go out with a concussion, you know, that's disappointing now as we don't have a lot of time now to get him up and ready, and hopefully he would be if you're planning on using him in the Jet game a week from Sunday.
When you talk about this roster and you talk about the defensive line, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult given all the talent is there, the talent that's been there, the talent that's been added, to figure out who's going to make this team or to go through this process without some well-known players not making this team. How do you see that defensive line shaking out right now if you're Ray Farmer?
Well, you know, I wonder a little bit about Phil Taylor. I really do.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I know that you could say, well, it's a given, but I don't know if it's a given. Phil's had a couple of problems. Number one is that he's had problems, you know, staying on the field and staying healthy. And then once he gets back on the field, you know, continuing to stay on the field, and it seems as though the Browns have taken some steps, whether it's insurance or just the, you know, just the realism that, hey, listen, this guy misses time. We have to get other people in here. And I believe they have gotten people in here. Shelton here, Cooper
yep.
here. Randy Starks ran down some plays the other day. So that seems to be a big name to me that could have some long discussion about it. Okay, what do we do here? This guy is coming into, you know, his last year, and we seem to be ready to move beyond him. You know, do we do it now or do we let it linger? And I think that's going to be one of those tough decisions that has to be made, probably not by tomorrow, but certainly by the end of the weekend.
That's absolutely correct. Jim, my last question for you is another tough decision is a guy that has yet to suit up for the Cleveland Browns in the first three preseason games, Terrell Pryor. Just your take on him, and does he need to play Thursday night to make this football team?
Well, I think so, Matt. I really do. I think so for, you know, for himself, for the coaches to see something from him that would, you know, give them the green light to say, okay, this is worth the time that we've invested in it and worth the waiting that we've had to go through to get him on the field. But I also think it needs to be done for chemistry with the team, because you have a lot of guys out there really busting their hump to try and make the team. These are going to be different decisions. I mean, it used to be pretty clear cut who was going to make the Cleveland Browns. Not so right now, because this is a deeper roster. And I think that for chemistry, if a guy doesn't play at all and makes the team, you know, sometimes that can rub guys the wrong way.
Yeah.
To watch a buddy of theirs who's gone through everything, or if it's, you know, on themselves and they've busted their tail to do everything that they've asked them to do and gone out there and played through things, because everybody's nicked at this point, and not make the team. I think that that's a tricky thing to try and explain to people. So I would think he does have to play. I really do. I think he has to play on Thursday night, and they've got to see something.
I certainly hope he does play. I certainly hope he does show something, because I just get the feeling that they want him on this team. And I think, as you said, it's a tough sell to the locker room and to the guys here if he makes this team without ever really playing a snap in a preseason game or a snap in the National Football League at all as a wide receiver. I think that would be
tough. The other thing, Nathan, I did see a little bit more discontent or frustration with him down in Tampa over the weekend that I haven't seen before. I've always been amazed at how relaxed he seems, you know, not being able to practice and certainly not being able to play. You know, if that was me, I'd be saying, oh, my goodness, I mean, I got to get out on the field.
Or I'm not going to make this team.
He's very cool and calm about it. But I did see him on Saturday during the day before we went over to the stadium, and he did seem more pensive about realizing that he wasn't going to play and the mission he has in front of him becoming more difficult.
And you know, on the sideline, the thing that stands out to me is, and he did this a lot in camp, he was basically walking everywhere with Joker Phillips. He had the play sheets. He had maybe the play time or the pitch count sheets out. And right. He was actually helping with the substitutions, talking to guys on the bench about who was going to be going in the game, who wasn't. So he was still very involved, but almost in this like pseudo coach role, which I found fascinating.
Right. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, and maybe you guys remember this, the Browns brought in David Nelson to come in. I think he was with Buffalo before he came to the Browns, and he had had a really significant injury and was coming back, and it was the same thing. He didn't play, didn't practice, and then finally we went to Chicago, as we annually do now, to play the Bears in the last game, and he went out in the last game, and he did play, and he had a couple of drops, and they cut him. And you could say to yourself, well, I mean, I understand that. Now, later on in the year, the Browns played the Jets.
The Jets had two touchdowns.
And Nelson had a huge game against the Browns. So on the prior side, you can say to yourself, well, I mean, even if he doesn't play in the preseason, maybe you have to look at this and you know, look through this and say, hey, down the road, when he is fully healthy, this is going to be worth it. And I would imagine that's what you're going through right now, you know, that's the kind of situation that you're kind of leaning on a gut feeling on this thing.
When you look at this team and you look at who you've got here now, and you know Fred Jackson was just released. We've heard a lot of talk about bringing in a veteran running back. Would that be somebody you were interested in? Then the other question is RG3. It sounds like the honeymoon is over. It's time to get divorced in Washington. Kirk Cousins, the starter for the whole team. Nobody's going to trade him, but there's talk that he might actually get cut. RG3, is that somebody you'd kick the tires on?
Well, I tell you what, could we handle RG3
and Johnny?
I got to tell you, that would be something.
They might be good for each other. They might have, you know, seen and experienced similar failures and similar pressure.
Yeah, right. Now, on the Fred Jackson thing, boy, there was a time when Buffalo really leaned on him a great deal. He was a terrific find for them and really was a great performer for them and then ran into some injury issues, and he's out there. I will say this, Nathan. I thought both running backs the other night once again had a little bit more pep in their step, as I say. And I thought both of them did. I thought Crowell hit things really well. I think West, you know, did pretty well himself too, and got them some tough runs. It also looked like they were both making better reads. They were going to the right spot, you know, on plays, holes that were there. And I know Wes really is a great, great admirer of his ad-lib moves where he tries to find it. There was one time where he went super wide down by the goal line, and he at least got back to the line of scrimmage. But I think both guys realize they seem to be hearing the noise about another running back possibly being brought in here, and it's kind of raised their game a little bit. I would still love to see each one of those guys succeed, because I thought when they were good last year, they were very good, and of course they're very young, and you say, boy, we could be very good for a long time if the two of them really succeed.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we need a running back to come in here, but if they were to bring in a veteran, I personally would prefer Fred Jackson to Ray Rice, but I think Fred Jackson's going to end up in New England. It just seems like a total Belichick thing to do, and it seems like it'd be a perfect fit there.
Yeah, it's amazing how guys remain in that division, doesn't it, when they leave teams? Brian Hartline's almost an anomaly. I mean, most guys – you know, you see guys leave Buffalo, they go to New England, or they go to Miami, or they go to the Jets, and they all seem to just seem connected in that division.
Yeah, they like the AFC, so you're guaranteed a trip to New York, and you're guaranteed a trip to Miami, so maybe these people, maybe that's how they're looking at it. Jim, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you in Chicago.
Okay, guys, look forward to it.
All right, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network there. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We'll take your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850, and we'll also break down the game that we saw, the Browns and the Buccaneers. We'll break that down when we come back as well. So lots to get into here on CBD, here on ESPN 850 WKNR.